Good afternoon. The time is 1:32 on April 4th, 2023, and I'm convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Audit Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being held, is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on April 24th, 2023 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official meeting minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as all three members of the committee have been confirmed to be present by video or audio. Also in attendance is Board Counsel Shelby Batts, General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Bart Bowles, and Jarrett Terry and Topping. And from the Department of Insurance, we have, is it John Walker?
Yes.
Okay. Well, turning to the agenda, item one is the minutes. Did everyone have a chance to look at the minutes?
We have a small correction on the minutes that we could advise you.
Okay.
If you look at the bottom, what I have on screen, the box it talks about, this is a written summary of the minutes of a specific meeting. We failed to update the date on there. Instead of September 30th, 2022, that should say October 12th, 2022. Topping has already made that correction. We wanted to point that out to you. And then at the header on the subsequent pages, it also says September 30th, 2022, and it should be October 12th, 2022. So just a couple of small nits, but there were only revisions that we have found after reviewing this, after it was pulled together.
Any other corrections to the minutes? Right. I'm sorry, Topping, did you say something?
It was Patty. I interrupted. I'm sorry, Dean.
Oh, that's fine. What's on your mind? Okay, motion was made by Patty.
Second.
Is James that? James?
No, that was Mark Williams.
Sorry, Mark Williams, second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes passed. Item two is a report from me on the exit conference. I had an exit conference with Balky this morning. She told me the audit went very well. They had no disagreements with management and no adjusting entries. So it's as good as it gets. Any questions for me? If not, we'll go to item B. Bart, did you need to do something?
Yes, I'm going to stop sharing and allow Bhakti to share her screen and walk through her slides.
Okay. Can everyone see that?
We don't see anything yet. It says you're screen sharing, but there it is. Now we have it.
Yeah.
A little bit of a delay.
We got it.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to brief out the audit results this afternoon. I'll keep it brief, but please stop me if there are any questions. Happy to answer any as I go through. So this is our official communications for the fiscal year 2022 external audit. We've wrapped up the audit fieldwork till now, so these are the results of that audit. So a brief agenda. I'll go over the scope of work and what we initially communicated, what we tested, as well as the deliverables that we have at the end of the year. I'll go over the overall audit results and any financial highlights throughout the year. And then just some required communications we have every year to those charged with governance. And then I'll go through a timeline for steps of finalization. We haven't issued the financials yet. We're waiting for the full board approval once we do that. But I'll give you the steps from here until the time we final issue. So scope of our audit work, we audited the financial statements of the Texas Life and Health Guarantee Association as of and for the year ended December 31, 2022. In the financial statements, I believe are part of the board packet, you'll see 2 years in there. The association does have comparative financials, so you'll see 2 years of financial data in there. We do perform in limited procedures over the management discussion analysis that management prepares. So we look at those numbers to make sure they are consistent with the overall financial statements. And then we do perform our audit in accordance with U.S. generally accepted accounting standards, auditing standards, we will propose any adjusting entries as needed throughout the audit. And then we also, one of the final things that we do, because our audit report is put in the overall annual report, we read the overall annual report to make sure it is consistent with those financial statements that we are opining on. So our overall deliverables, we issue an independent auditor's report that essentially is our opinion over the financial statements. Any internal communications, if we've identified any deficiencies in internal control or best practices that we think that management should consider, we'd issue a separate letter. We didn't have any, and so we don't have a separate letter that we're issuing for that. We don't have any internal control deficiencies. And then our governance communication letter that we will be sending out, we've sent drafts over, and this is just a brief out of what's in that letter. So the overall results of our audit, we do have an unmodified opinion. That is the highest level of assurance that we could give in an independent auditor's report. So, you know, great job to management and the entire team there. And we did not have any proposed uncorrected audit adjustments. These are usually adjustments that are not corrected, but we still feel that they're immaterial enough that we're okay with those not being corrected, but we didn't have any of those. And then we didn't have any corrected audit adjustments that met our threshold either that we need to communicate to the audit committee or the board. So none there. Overall, those financial statements were accurate. They were complete when we got them for review. Internal control communications, as I mentioned, we don't really have any communications. We didn't identify any deficiencies that we consider to be material weaknesses. Now, our audit is done on a sample basis. We don't audit 100%. We have a risk-based approach. So material weaknesses may still exist that were not identified as part of the audit, but based on our risk-based approach, we did not identify any material weaknesses, and no written recommendations were provided to management as we didn't identify anything in our testing. So some of our financial statement highlights, this is just kind of when you're looking year over year on those financial statements, some of the big swings, a lot of which the audit committee knows about as they're discussed during the board meetings, but large swings here. Cash and cash equivalents decreased $2.4 million, chiefly due to normal operations as well as net purchases and investments. Normal operations, if you'll look on the statement of revenues and expenses, it was about a $1.6 million operating loss. And those were the net purchases of investments, about $650,000, which causes cash number to decrease year over year. Unbilled assessments increased about $2.85 million due to two new insolvencies this year, the North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance and Time Insurance Company. The North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance was about a $2.4 million insolvency, while Time was about a $230,000 insolvency. And then we saw a comparable increase in the insurance contractual obligations, which increased about $2.06 million, mainly due to that North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance, which was about $2.4 million, offset by some adjustments and payments that were made in that number. So those were the larger swings from year to year in our statement of net position. In our statement of revenues and expenses and changes in net position, net position overall decreased about $2.19 million. There weren't any large estate distributions this year. During 2022, now in 2021, we did see a larger estate distribution that was offset by a settlement payment that was in those. So, you know, for lack of better words, this was sort of a quiet year, whereas last year we had a few things happening. So that really caused that swing from year over year. On the estate recovery side, that decreased about $28 million. Again, no large recoveries were received in 2022, whereas we did have a large one last year in 2021. So that caused that number to swing down year over year. Some of our significant footnotes, note five, we've always identified as a significant footnote, just because it's around the membership assessments. There were no membership assessments class A or B this year, so you won't see any of that, while there was $1 million one last year. But we always identify this as a significant footnote because it is very integral to the overall entity. And note 15, commitments and contingencies around the Penn Treaty American Network recoveries, that is also a note, and there's more detail around that with some updated information around the Penn Treaty, obviously being one of the largest insolvencies there. So some of our required communications, these are similar to previous years as I've given. So some of our significant risks we've identified, and this is not to say we identified issues here. These are just because of the inherent nature of the business or just inherent in an audit. These are the risks that we identify during planning, and we do additional testing over these areas. This could be because there are large balances in those accounts. This could be because they're just inherently risky. Maybe there's an estimate or it's an unusual transaction. So we identify these as part of our planning, and then we design our audit approach around that as well. So management override of controls, which is always at risk in every audit that we do, whether it's a nonprofit, a government, or a private company or a public company, that's always there. So we do look at internal controls, management's internal controls. We look at membership assessments for the association, billed assessments receivables, proof of claims receivable, and insurance contractual obligations. Those last four are obviously specific to the association because of whether they're estimates or whether they're larger balances. We do additional testing over those areas. We didn't have any new accounting standards or reporting standards that had any material impact this year. We did look through the new ones this year. There were new ones, nothing that impacted the association. GASB 87 around leases was effective as of fiscal 2022, but it was early implemented by management last year. So we went ahead and put that in last year, management did, and then this year it was already implemented. No new accounting policies or changes in existing policies. When we're talking accounting policies, we're talking about management's policies. And there weren't any transactions where there was a lack of authoritative guidance that we identified this year. Estimates and disclosures, as I mentioned, some of the estimates we do test more. Obviously, they're not hard and fast numbers. We look at the assumptions underlying those estimates, how they were calculated, if there were any management biases in those creating those estimates. And those significant estimates for those insurance contractual obligations and the allowance for doubtful accounts. And so we looked at those, looked at the factors around those, the assumptions, and we felt that they were accurately presented and we're comfortable with management's estimates. No sensitive financial statement disclosures that we identified this year. From an audit procedure standpoint, we are required to communicate if we had any difficulties during our audit, any unnecessary delays, or if we felt management wasn't providing information to us. No significant difficulties encountered, no disagreements during our audit fieldwork. Management was transparent, they were clear, they were very responsive in all of our requests. So we certainly appreciate that. It does make the audit go a lot smoother with all that responsiveness, with the responsiveness, so we appreciate that. Other items that required, if management had consultations outside of discussions with us, with other accountants around auditing accounting matters, we are not aware of any matters that they consulted with other accountants on. And there weren't any matters discussed to us, to our firm, CLA, prior to our engagement, to which our engagement was contingent upon. So any discussions were part of planning. There was no contingent type things that would impair our independence in any way. And one of the last items that we'll get is a management representation letter. And I'll talk about that in one of our later slides here. But we get representations from management that they've given us everything to the best of their knowledge and understanding of the information based on the information that we've requested. So final steps to finalization here. So we're reviewing the annual report, which we've just finalized. We got a draft of that, so we have reviewed that. Once we get the final, we'll make sure we've looked at any changes from that draft to the final. We'll have communications of any subsequent events. We'll have one final communication with management if there's anything that's happened between our last communication and the date of our audit report, that anything that may require disclosures, including any claims. So Shelby and Jackie will be reaching out just to update our understanding if there's any claims or litigation that we need to consider, if they would need to be disclosed in those financial statements to take us all the way to that report date. And then we'll go into our board meeting, which I believe is April 18th, for final board approval of the report. And then we will get a representation letter signed by management, after which we will final issue. So unless there is anything that comes out of that subsequent events communication or any additional litigation that came up between our